Father, we know that as we sing it, that is indeed a truth and it is our reality, that you are enough for us, enough for every struggle, enough for every sickness, enough for every problem, enough for every crisis, enough for every fear, enough for every day, enough for every conflict, enough, enough, enough. You are enough for us. You are the all-sufficient one. And so we turn to you, not because we have to, but because we long to be in your presence and know you, satisfying us and nourishing our souls. And so as we turn in a moment to your word, so would you speak out of it today? Would you meet with your people? Would you release hope in your people and life to that which is dead? We welcome you. We welcome you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Do grab a seat. Thank you, guys, for leading us. It's been hard just grabbing things together this morning, and the musicians have been so helpful and dedicated as normal. So thank you, especially today, for your endeavours and willingness to serve. Thank you. Should we encourage them actually as they grab their seats? It might be a good thing to do. Just shows that we actually do appreciate they're here at 9 o'clock every week when we're still having our breakfast and things like that. So we're going to read from the scriptures, and then I'll just explain a bit about what we're going to do next. And first reading is from Luke's Gospel, and it's chapter 10. It's on the screen, but if you've got your Bible with you on phone, or you want to grab one of the church ones, that's never a bad thing to do. This is Luke talking about Jesus. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Or, "I'm sending you out like purple-shirted people to bus stops," whenever it might be. "Don't take a purse or a bag or a sandal, and don't greet anyone on the road when you enter a house. First say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you." And then from Matthew's Gospel, just a few verses from chapter 13. Matthew says, "Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." We thank God for his word to us, don't we? Well, I'm grateful for it anyway. So, give me that. It's already hard work this morning. I haven't even begun yet. But I'm about to go out of my comfort zone, really. I'm most at home, about 3 inches above the rest of you, and proclaiming forth the great tidings of the Lord. Okay, that's when I'm most in my element, in my kind of sweet spot, and kind of like, yeah, this is what I was kind of born to do, all right? I can do that stuff. And today we're just going to do something a bit different. We heard Jesus sending out the disciples in Luke chapter 10, or the disciples and the gathered crowd, actually. There were 72 of them, sending them out. And then we heard from Matthew how he so often used parables. And of course, the richness and the great brilliance of Jesus' parables is that he would tell them, and you can always imagine people kind of dropping off from the crowd, going away kind of scratching their metaphorical chins and thinking, okay, what on earth was that about? And the penny drops a bit later on. So rather than preach at you for the next 20 minutes, for the next 5 minutes or so, I'm just going to tell you a parable. And I'm not going to explain it afterwards. For a number of reasons. One, it's blatantly obvious what the meaning is. But two, just as Jesus so often did, just to let it hang there and percolate away, so to speak, in the grey matter and in the depth of our soul, maybe, in the days to come. Some of you will have heard it before, and it isn't of my invention. It's nicked from somebody else who is anonymous. It's apocryphal, I think. So I'm going to tell you a story, hence the chairs here. It's not because Jackie's back's hurting. It's so I can sit down, all right? And I hope you are sitting comfortably. You may want just to wiggle a little bit in your chair. Oh, it really is about 5 minutes long. It's not one of my sermons, which I say will be brief, and then 45 minutes later I'm still going. It's about 5 minutes long. And you may want to sit back in the comfort of your lovely salmon-coloured church chairs, and possibly soon to be replaced. And you may want to close your eyes. You may not. Are you sitting comfortably? Gabrielle's saying no. There's some really nice, comfy brown chairs out there, Gabs, if you want to go. But won't take it personally. Are you sitting comfortably? And then I'll begin. On a dangerous piece of coastline, where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little lifeboat station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea. And with no thought for themselves, they went out day or night, tirelessly searching for those that were lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that in fact it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding areas wanted to become associated with the station and give some of their time and money and effort to the support of its work. So new boats were bought and new crews were trained. And the little lifeboat station grew. Some of the new members of the lifeboat station were a bit unhappy. The building was so crude and so poorly equipped. They felt that a much more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge from those that had been saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds, and they put in some better furniture in an enlarged building. Now the lifeboat station became a popular gathering place for its members. And they redecorated it beautifully and furnished it as a bit of a sort of yacht club. The members brought their boats and moored them nearby. But fewer of the members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do that work for them. The mission of life-saving was still important. It was still given lip service. But most of them are now a bit too busy or lack the necessary commitment to take part in the life-saving activities themselves. Around about this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast. And the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold and wet and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick. Some of them were from different nations and races, spoke strange languages. And the beautiful yacht club was considerably messed up. The property committee immediately had a shower house built outside of the club. where victims of shipwrecks could be cleaned up before they came inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities. They were a bit unpleasant, and they were a hindrance to the normal part and life and pattern of the club. But some members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose, and they pointed out that they were still called a lifeboat station. But they were reminded that if they wanted to do this life-saving business, then they could, but ideally outside of the premises, because this was a nice, respectable yacht club now. Though a small group of members wearily protested, they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the life of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station a little down the coast. And so they did. As the years went by, that new station experienced all the same changes that had occurred in the old. They themselves evolved into yet another yacht club, and then another life-saving station was found. If you still visit that bit of coastline today, you will find a number of exclusive and lovely and beautiful little yacht clubs all along the shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, only now most of the people drown. Let those who have ears hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. We'll just be still for a few moments. And so speak to us, your people, Lord, in this season, as we consider the great task you have set before us. Mould and shape our hearts, we pray. Break our heart for what breaks yours, that all of us and all that we are might be poured out as an offering to you in the cause of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.